It's time for Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk on News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, where we talk all things Illini along with other area national sports. Join the program by calling 217-356-9397 or send a text to the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. You can also email us at talk@wdws.com. Now, here are your hosts, Lauren Tate and Steve Kelly.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk, coming to you this morning from the Kiwanis Club's Pancake Breakfast at Bromley Hall in Champaign-Urbana. They'll be serving breakfast until 11 o'clock today. They got started about 7:30. Pretty good crowd making its way here to Bromley Hall. We're with you until 11 ourselves. The phone line is open, 356-9397. If you'd like to join us, we've got some guests scheduled over the next couple of hours, and we'd be happy to take your calls as well. Mr. Tate, how are you doing this morning?
Doing good. Lots of stuff, lots of things to talk about.
We'll get you updated on some of the headlines, baseball news from yesterday and last night. The Cubs beat the Nationals 14-6. Chris Bryant, 3 home runs in that game.
7th, 8th, and 9th innings.
I wonder if that's been done before.
Yeah, it's been done before, but not very often. I saw where that's one of the few that's ever been in consecutive innings, 3 consecutive innings home runs.
Especially that late in the game, too. It would be unusual. But in a 14-6 win for the Cubs, they're now 26-16. They've got a game-and-a-half lead over the Brewers, who lost to the Braves 12-4. The Cardinals need a flip of the calendar. They are 4-12 in the month of May.
When did they win 4 games?
Early in the month of May. They've lost 12 of their last 15 games overall.
Their last 2 wins, I think, they had 14 runs in one and 17 in the other.
That is correct. And they went 0-for the next
forever,
night, virtually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cardinals are now 4.5 games back of the Cubs. It wasn't that long ago. At the beginning of May, they were 20-10, 10 games over.
Mm-hmm.
They are now 23-22.
And really looking bad at doing it because the way that the starting pitching is starting to collapse. And Wainwright, counting on Wainwright has always been a iffy for me. And I'm not sure about Waka either.
Not always, but lately.
No, I just mean this year. Yeah. I mean, it always this year. when you talk about winning the pennant with Wainwright, I'm thinking, no, it won't last. He's finishing out his career this year. This is his final year probably. And don't you think? I mean, you get this idea, and I just don't think that's the way you win championships.
Other baseball news, the Blue Jays beat the White Sox 10-2. In Big Ten baseball, Michigan State over Illinois 5-2 last night. Illinois now 35-17 on the year and 14-9 in the Big Ten. We've got one more game today in East Lansing, and then the seedings will be straightened out a little bit for the Big Ten tournament. The Illini probably in that 3, 4, or 5 seed range, depending on the outcome of today's games.
Yeah, if they win today, Ed Bond tells me it's definite they'll play at 9 a.m. Wednesday. So that's got to be coming from the horse's mouth.
Well, there are 2 options. If they don't, they'll play at 9 p.m. Wednesday.
That's right.
A lot of time in between.
If they win today, just think they'd be 15-9 after starting 1-5.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
I mean, that's a pretty good bounce back.
Michigan State 5, Illinois 2 in that one. Softball NCAA tournament, Virginia Tech beat the Fighting Illini 6-2. Illinois will play this afternoon at 1:30 down in Lexington against Toledo. That's an elimination game, so that is the situation there. Women's golf playing in the NCAA championships in Fayetteville, Arkansas. First round, first time ever for the Illini ladies golf team to play in the national championship. And Illinois is 17th after a 28 over par round yesterday. They need to be, by the end of Sunday, they need to be in the top 15 to go into match play.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in range. They need to put together a better second round and third round for sure.
You mentioned that it's 15 for match play. Why the odd number?
That's a good point. They need to be in, I guess they would have to be in the top 8 then for that.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking of the 15 to get to where they are now. But, yeah, you're right.
There's a cut.
Yeah.
After 3 days.
Yes.
And the fourth round is only has 15 schools, and then it's reduced to 8 for Massway.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So they need to get play a little bit better there. Texas and Arkansas have the lead in the women's NCAA championships, both those teams plus 10, Arkansas playing on its home course. That's the same course that Mike Small's team will play on coming up starting next Friday in the men's NCAA championships. So Illinois, after winning that Myrtle Beach Regional, great last-day performance by the Illini earlier this week.
They got some momentum going in.
PGA Championship, talk about momentum. Brooks Koepka has a 7-shot lead going into round three. He's 12 under par. Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott are in second place at minus 5. Thomas Peters, former Illini, made the cut on the number. He's 4 over par. Steve Stricker and Tiger Woods missed the cut by 1 shot. Stricker coming off a major win last week on the Champions Tour.
Tiger couldn't control his driver. He couldn't get the ball in the fairway. It's really hard to play that course when you're hitting the ball, hitting your approach shots out of high rough. That's a murder.
NBA playoffs last night, Toronto and Milwaukee. The Bucks win it 125-103 to go up 2-0. In the Eastern Conference Finals, the Western Conference Final Series continues later today, tonight at Portland, with Golden State leading that series 2-0. Golden State looking pretty good, even though Kevin Durant hasn't played the last couple games.
Here's the question that everybody's asking, and I say everybody's asking. It's a stupid question. Are they better without Durant? Come on. They're not better without Durant. But they play different, and they're more fun to watch. Do I dare say that? I mean, they really pass the ball. Everybody's moving. When Durant's in there, they give it to him, and he scores. it's a different approach, but – I like to watch him better without him. Of course, the games are closer, too, which is good.
Right. And National Hockey League playoffs, the Blues got even after getting a hose job, so to speak, earlier in the week.
A hand.
You almost – it was a hand
assist.
A hand assist. What was it called, yeah. But they won 2-1 last night, final in that ball, in that hockey game, that series now. 2-2. Those are some of the headlines. Tommy Stevens, the quarterback from Penn State, was considering Illinois. He decided to go to Mississippi State, where his former offensive coordinator is the head coach.
Yeah, Joe Moorhead was probably the main factor there, since he had been the offensive coordinator at Penn State. And I think all along that was the favorite, although Illinois tried to cut in on him and got him here for a visit a couple weeks ago. And it was looking hopeful, at least, but at this point, now they got to sweat out Fink summer school. If Fink can graduate this summer, then he would still be available as a grad. He's not a grad student yet because he hadn't graduated, and that would be the key there. And maybe they'll still try to bring in Fink because he evidently wanted to come. His father wouldn't announce in the Los Angeles Times that he was coming unless Matt wanted to come at that point. But then he learned that. Or maybe they knew already, but at some point the graduation consideration became a huge factor.
Yeah, Matt Fink, of course, coming from or going somewhere from USC, he hopes, if he graduates.
Yeah.
He was a backup at USC and would have 2 years of eligibility.
That's right. That's right. And that's the reason he hadn't graduated. He just hadn't had time quite.
So we'll see how that plays out. Another thing that looked good that didn't turn out well was the T.J. Holyfield situation. He decided to go to Texas Tech.
Yeah, and there was no academic problem there. He just decided, I think, to stay in Texas, and why not? I mean, Texas Tech is a Final Four team, and looks like they'll be good again next year, and they've got things rolling there, and he's already in Texas, so Illinois couldn't swing that, although Illinois was very much in the running. And, of course, Kuma, who committed, has not signed. We passed the signing day. And you can't sign now. And so whether Kuma could still come to the University of Illinois, but there's an academic hitch there.
So we'll see how that plays out in the weeks ahead. Those are some of the headlines on this edition of Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk. We're at Bromley Hall, the 25th Annual Kiwanis Club Pancake Breakfast. We'd love to hear from you if you'd like to join us. If you're out and about, stop by and see us. Or give us a call, 356-9397. We'll take our first time out and be back with more on Sports Talk after this.
This is Carol Varell. Can you help solve the murder of Emmanuel Boyd Jr. of Champaign? The Cold Case Podcast, Sunday at news-gazette.com.
And welcome back to Illini Bella Saturday Sports Talk at the Kiwanis Club Pancake Breakfast. We're here till 11. They're serving pancakes during that time as well. If you're out and about on this beautiful Saturday morning with Lauren Tate, I'm Steve Kelly. Ed Bond is here as well. Jim Dye from the News Gazette stopped by for some breakfast and sat down with us. How you doing?
I haven't had any breakfast yet. I decided to sit with you guys first.
Take care of the work first, right?
That's right.
And the
fun later.
You're a Cardinal fan. Tell us what you think's going on.
Well, I think the pitching has been bad and the hitting has been untimely. 16 runs one day and none the next. I'm starting to get worried. They brought Martinez back, I believe. He's going to have to make a real splash to turn things around. I mean, Mikolas, I was a little concerned he wasn't going to be as good as he was last year, but he hasn't been so far. He's had his moments. It doesn't look good right now.
Well, what's really the problem is that they're up against two really formidable opponents, and that's the Cubs and the Brewers. The Cubs, there's only going to be one, the Brewers might be a wild card, but you're not going to get, that's it. The Cubs are probably going to win the division, or the Brewers will win the division, and the other one will be the wild card. Now, where can the Cardinals find a way into the playoffs somehow? I don't know.
Well, I just keep telling myself it's a long season. Maybe things will get better. But
it's only a quarter of the way done. So, yeah. There's
so, they're 20-10 like 10 days ago, and now they're about
23-22.
So that lead evaporated pretty quickly. The Cubs are playing really good ball right now, and they could make a joke out of this pennant race.
It's hard to understand how the Cubs cannot be successful when they have so many star players and those three left-handed pitchers, plus Hendricks is pitching good again.
Yeah.
All they really have to sweat out from the starting rotation is Darvish. And Darvish is walking some, but he can strike out a bunch too. So I don't know. That lineup, and Contreras hit another home run, yes. I mean, they've got a really hard-hitting athletic catcher, and they got a terrific third baseman, and the shortstop's the best in the league, I think, and the first baseman's as good as any. I mean, they're around that infield. The Cubs are really good.
Well, I was thinking for a while that, maybe they're going to have trouble against the really creme de la creme of the National League and beat everybody else. That was my theory for a while, and it held up for a while, but now they're losing to Atlanta and Texas, and so I don't know. I'm going to have to come up with another theory. I'm afraid my theory is going to be they're not good enough.
And Jim Dye spending some time with us. Let's talk about gambling, sports gambling in the state of Illinois. What's the latest over in Springfield, if there is anything?
Well, we were talking about exactly that same thing a year ago at the Pancake Breakfast,
yep.
And that was after the Supreme Court had basically struck down a federal law that barred states from getting into it. So now the states are getting into it at different speeds, and the question is that confronts the state right now is what's going to happen in the next 10 or 12 days before the legislature adjourns. I mean, the legislature is going to go out of business temporarily on May 31st. I wish they'd go out of business permanently, but they insist on coming back. But
what are the considerations right now?
Well, is the state's going to have sports gambling? Is going to be a clean sports gambling bill, or are the usual interest groups going to try to make it a Christmas tree where, you have Rockford and Danville and Chicago all want casinos, and the current casino operators don't want any more casinos, and the racetrack owners want slot machines at the racetracks because the racing tracks in Illinois are dying. And,
is that right?
Oh, yeah. Their revenues have just completely collapsed, and they think they need that. They need slot machines to survive, and they're probably right because horse racing, if you've ever tried horse racing, gambling on horse racing, that is complicated stuff. You almost have to have a PhD in math to figure out all those different probabilities.
Well, you got to have a racing form for sure.
You got to have a racing form, and you got to have horses and a track to run in. And so you have all these interests colliding, and what's going to happen? Who knows? Looks like we have a guest here.
We do. You hang tight with us, Jim.
I will do that.
Mike Small, the Big Ten Coach of the Year, again, is with us. Appreciate you stopping by, Small. How you doing?
I'm good, Steve. Thank you very much. much.
Turn that up. There you go.
I got a left-handed mic here.
Well, it'll go either way. It'll go the other way, too, if you want to flip it around.
All right.
We're live. Here, do that. Give
gotcha.
It a,
we good?
We're good. Turn it up just a little bit.
Turn that up, Lauren.
No,
gotcha.
No. Yeah, just
this
move,
right here?
Move the arm. No. The,
oh, this.
There
okay.
you go.
I tell you what, this is a golf swing is easier than using this thing.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks. It's good. Good to see you guys.
I just made the comment that you got some momentum going. Is that worth something? That momentum?
Momentum's huge in golf, any sport, any team sport, any sport you coach or play. But for golf, yes, it's a slower, drawn out momentum, but it's a positive vibe. It's a positive thinking. It's believing in yourself is what momentum is in golf, and you don't overthink things. Then you just kind of let it flow and let the talents come out.
Tell us about that final round down at Myrtle Beach.
That was special. That you could tell the warming up again. You can tell a coach can always tell. I think I've talked to other coaches in other sports. When the kids are warming up and they're preparing, you can tell whether they have it or not. You can tell if there's a chance. And that morning, it was a good look to them, a good vibe. And then the first six or seven holes in that golf course is where it's all at. If you go off to a good start, you can really roll it and play well. But if those holes get you and they take you down, then it's gonna be a long day. And that's what happened to several teams. But we got through holes 3, 4, 5, and 6. And 7, if you will, really well. I think we had 21 the entire day. We had 21 birdies and 5 bogeys. Just on our, that's all our counters. And in those first 7 holes, we only had 1 bogey. So it was something that was special, and we've been looking for that. We've talked about it, and this team's starting to see that when you combine talent with a purposeful way to play and a committed way to play, that's when you reach your best.
What do you do as a coach when you see the look in their eye that maybe they're not ready?
Well, that's when you got to get in, you know, infuse yourself what's going on. But like on Wednesday, the last round, when it was going so well, you just kind of sit back and let it go. You know, I mean, if I was a basketball coach, you could relate it to where I'd be on the bench letting them play, letting them know, you know, if you coach your team correctly and they buy into what you're doing and your system and they understand what they're supposed to do, when things are going good, you can just sit back and let them go. And that's a compliment to the team. I always say, if I was a basketball coach in golf, I'd be sitting on the bench more than I'd be up running around yelling at people, because I think you do your work in practice. And when they get there, but you got to have leadership on the floor, leadership on the course, and these kids are starting to show that. They're starting to take ownership in their actions and in the way they, you know, they prepare themselves, and then when they go out and hit the shots. And that's a huge – accountability is huge in anything you do. And the last 2-3 weeks, they're really buying into this, and they're starting to see the benefits from the work.
Tell us what's the status of Bumgarten right now. He played in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. You moved Cool in this event, the regional. Have you been? Is he okay? Is he healthy? Is he 100%?
Well, we're doing that right as we speak, right now. Lauren, we were meeting this morning, and we're trying to figure things out. And this has been he's been hurt since February,
okay.
And he tried to fight through it for a month or two, and it's been stiff, and it gets stiffer, and it's getting worse, but. You know, nothing's wrong. I mean, we can't figure out what's wrong with him, but it's just tightness and pain that nobody can get a handle on.
Tension's a bad thing in golf.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then first, you lose your confidence. And Brian, you know, he's one of the top 5 players in the Big Ten Conference there most of the spring, and that's what's disappointing, because we all feel for Brian. We want him to play. We want him to enjoy this and to jump on board. But injuries are something you can't control, and we're working hard to figure it out. But, you know, we talked today and talked yesterday. It's getting to the point now where it's almost more long term. We got to figure out what's best for him this summer and next fall to get him back on board than just maybe hurrying up and trying to play one more tournament. So, as of right now, he's not out, but we need to figure this thing out and figure out which direction we're going to go.
Well, the last 2 days have been a pretty good indication that you're up one day and you're down the next. PGA looks a little different than the Masters, doesn't it?
Yes, I haven't watched much of it because we're just chasing our tail right now.
Well,
a little
I will
bit,
tell you right now, if you can't hit your tee shot in the fairway when there's high rough,
yep.
It makes that second shot a different shot.
Well, it does, Lauren, and it's kind of nice to see that the majors now, some of them have gone back to having to drive the ball in the fairway, making it a premium, and that's what this week is. But now they're hitting it so much farther. You know, Strick commented this week, you know, he's 15 to 25 yards behind these guys. And the game has just evolved so much in distance off the tee. But now they've got to put a premium back on accuracy. And this week they've really done that. And that golf course is hard.
Have you played it?
I've never played it. No. I've talked to people. But obviously Koepka is just – he's so confident. Talking about – we talked about our team earlier,
right.
And where we're trying to get our players to do every day. And he, he's actually in that zone for a long time. I mean, he wins this thing. That's a four majors in his last eight.
Yeah.
And that's unbelievable.
Paul Azinger had a good line. He said he loved the golf course, but his favorite part of the golf course was the drive out.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
You've once again found a way to come up with a blend of veteran guys and some outstanding young guys. You keep pulling that off, but that's the formula that's working.
It's worked for a while now, but you know, you always hope. You don't know if it's going to work for sure. That's what keeps us motivated, keeps us going. But we try to recruit that way. We try to recruit people that fit in with the people before them that want to grab a hold and follow their lead and play golf the way Illinois golf is supposed to be played, and young people that can gravitate towards that and keep it going. And you know, we believe everybody in this team should have a place to play or have a opportunity to play and join in. And we've had that good dispersion of four classes represented every year we play. We may skip a recruiting class or two once in a while if we have really strength in one or two above them, but we try to keep that and try to keep the, you know, that's a definition of a program, just not maybe a good team every 4 years, but a program.
You know, I think one of the most interesting things is the development of Chopra this season. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think he would figure to be on your team a year ago. Would that be fair to say? I mean, that he'd make your top five?
Yeah, I mean, that was in doubt. Honestly, that was in doubt 3-4 months ago. But Varun's a hard worker. He's got a little edge to him, which is good to have. And you know, the last round at regionals, when we were in second place, probably what, 7 or 8 shots clear of the 6 or 7 shots clear of the number. But that's not a lot in golf. And so we still could have missed that last round last week, even though we went out and played great and blew him away. But for Varun to come out that last round and make 15 pars and 3 birdies, and make some great saves to keep that run going and drive it with confidence, that was huge. I mean, he's been a huge infusion to our program the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks.
I mean, I remember Park Hill. How many guys have you had locally, you know, from Champaign-Urbana area?
Maybe 3. Maybe, you know, Christo Bravoni was on the team when I first got here.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. And then it was Clayton, and then it's Varun. But you know, I would love to have a team of 10 guys from Champaign if we were all good enough to win a national championship. It's not that's not the issue. It's just when you find guys, I think it's tougher to play sometimes and tougher to deal with the ups and downs if you're locally. The expectations sometimes are out of whack. And I think Varun
speaks well for your program that you're able to take a guy locally and mm-hmm. and he's at that level.
I hope so. That's what we do. I mean, we're not going to recruit somebody if we don't think they have the ability to win a Big Ten individual championship. That's when I look at a kid, when I make a decision when I recruit, I look at his body of work, the way he lives his life, the way he practices, the results he has, his demeanor. And if I look in his eyes and his soul, I can't picture him winning an individual Big Ten championship in 4 years. Now, it's not going to happen because there's only 4 of them. But if I can't see that he doesn't have the potential, then I don't recruit him. Everybody on our team that I recruit, I believe, has the chance, the ability to improve their game to where they can win an individual Big Ten championship.
Go ahead.
No, and I thought he did, but he had a long way to go. And you know, he Varun, if you ask him, he took a step back the year before he got here, after he committed, and that happens to a lot of kids. And then when he got here, this was kind of a shock to his system. But he works hard, and I will not take that away from anybody. He works hard, and again, he's doing this. We're not doing it. He's doing it, so it's great.
Another couple of minutes with Mike Small, busy guy. You'll leave town what, midweek?
Wednesday,
and then have a practice round Thursday.
Practice round Thursday. One practice round is all you get, mm-hmm. and it's 156 players in a shotgun start practice round. They've really condensed the tournament, and they really kind of sacrificed a lot of things that go into a great championship in order to have it on TV in the match play portion. So now it used to be 2 practice round days. Now it's only one with all the teams scrunched into one little run. So you got to do a lot of work in a condensed period of time, and this course requires it. I've watched the ladies this week and kind of followed a little bit, and it's gonna be a hard, tough golf course, and it's something we're gonna have to figure out that one day we're there.
It's a nice story too that Illinois there is there for the first time on the ladies' side.
I think it's great. Renee's been working hard, and this is where it starts for them. And they, you know, I don't know how they're doing today. I haven't checked. I think they play this afternoon actually, but I'm excited for them. I thought they'd win the Big Ten this year, and you know, they got second again. But that's 2 in a row, and you have to start somewhere and build your resume and learn how to do it. And they're doing great. It's awesome to have that success around us.
Does Arkansas get only one practice round on the course too?
They didn't make it.
They didn't make it.
No, they struggled the last day. They were inside the top 5 in Austin and struggled, and they did not make it.
Would they have gotten just one practice round?
Yes.
On their home course.
Yes, but they can play as much as they want up to the ladies' championship. But they know. I mean, they've played it a bunch.
Sure.
But that just shows you that they're the SEC champions, and they didn't make the national finals. It shows you how hard and fleeting this is to a lot of teams.
Now, you know, it's really interesting, this story that Dakich came up with about comparing two coaches, Beilein and Crean, and how much Beilein won one Big Ten championship in 11 or 12 years. One. Crean won two of his last four, but who is respected the most? Well, what you do in the postseason. Mm-hmm. It's all what you do in the postseason. It really comes down to that.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. And our team, you know, every tournament we play, every round we play is very important. It's very important for who you are and how you build your body of work and what you become. But our team understands that if you win Augusta State or you win, you know, let's say a Crooked Stick in the fall, nobody remembers that win 2 weeks later. But they remember the Big Ten championships. Yeah. They remember the NCAA regionals and nationals. Yeah. And that's why this is our championship run, our championship season. And start every year, our first goal is to win the Big Ten championship, second goal is regionals, third goal is the national championship. That will never change because that's what they give rings for.
Hey, Mike, I know there's a lot on your plate, but I appreciate you stopping by here and visiting with us.
Happy to do it, guys. Thank you for having me, and thanks for everything.
Yeah, good luck next week. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Illini Golf Coach Mike Small, as we hit the bottom of the hour at 9:30, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana. We'll take a break and be back. We'll talk some Illinois football with Assistant Coach Mike Bellamy when we come back. Stay with us. Back with more after this. And welcome back, everybody, to Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk. We're at the Kiwanis Club's Pancake Breakfast, which goes until 11 o'clock today. If you'd like to come by for some pancakes, sausage, and whatever else they have, juice, coffee, stop on by. We're at Bromley Hall on the University of Illinois campus with Lauren Tate. I'm Steve Kelly. Going to talk some Illinois football now. Illini assistant coach Mike Bellamy, former Illini player himself, is on the line with us. Michael, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. You know, just another day and beautiful sun and hanging out and, you know, glad to be on the phone with you guys.
What is going on right now with the players? Are they working out with Lou and the strength coaches?
Well, a lot of them just finished classes, so they're about to get a little break and then have to report back in a couple weeks. But right now they finished up their workouts and, you know, some guys who are still in town still have the luxury of going into the weight room and working out. You know, but for the most part, a lot of the guys are decompressing, getting themselves ready for a big summer grind.
You've had a little bit of time now since spring practice ended to kind of think about your position, the running back's position. Give us a thought on what you're thinking after the end of spring ball.
Well, the biggest thing was, you know, when I first got there, you know, already knowing from the outside of the talent in my room was to be able to see hands-on, the capabilities of some of the guys. So, you know, we always talk about in our room being able to go from 1 to 7, and that was all the guys that were active and being accountable for each other. So when you got guys like, you know, Reggie and Dre Brown, you know, being able to lead the group and then come behind them with Rayvon and some of the young guys, it's pretty exciting to see the things that we're going to be capable of doing. So, you know, the room is very, I guess you could say, represented very well as far as the expectations go. But at the same time, they understand that they're just one part of the puzzle, and each of them will be held accountable for the group. And so as the group goes, individually they'll go, and as individually they'll go, the group will be better.
Mike, this is Lauren. Since you were a receiver yourself, I'll ask you about the receivers. That's a concern right now in terms of the talent level. Do you see anybody coming in at this point? There have been a lot of suggestions that maybe some transfers were coming that didn't make it. What do you see about the receivers position?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, when you get some experience and getting some guys healthy. And being able to, you know, as spring ball goes, and you guys know spring ball is a lot of installation, a lot of seeing where the younger guys are. Even towards the end, we were playing more young guys. You know, from the outside where there is a lot of concern, from the inside we're just trying to figure out how to put guys in a better position to be successful. The expectations are going to be higher for some guys. just because of the limitations of others. But that does not mean that we need to go into a state of panic. You know, you recruit a class that you bring in some talent, and as well with this transfer thing and making sure that guys who want to come to play at Illinois are, you know, part of the puzzle. You know, I think, you know, the future is still bright. You know, there's no – we're not walking around in, you know, Champaign with our heads down, hopefully somebody will pop up into the city. We're, you know, right now we're going to play with who we got and you know, look forward to the fall season.
Well, Mike, is it possible to bring anybody in at this point, or is that pretty much dead?
Well, no, it's definitely possible. You know, and I'm pretty sure Coach Smith, who's been getting a lot of phone calls, and, you know, and all of us assistant coaches have been having people call. You know, every day there's a new guy with this recruiting aspect and this portal, transfer portal thing going. There are guys who are leaving situations and figuring out that there might be better opportunities. So you just never know, you know, but we're not actively looking for transfers. You know, but we're looking to get better. So if an opportunity comes around where there's a player that can get us better, I'm pretty sure Coach Smith and Coach Rod Smith will do whatever is necessary to get us better in a better position.
Did you ever envision this transfer situation being the way it is? With it's almost like free agency.
Yeah. The challenge is, I mean, you even talk to the coaches out on the road, whether it be other peers or other even the high school coaches. There's a benefit, but also it could be detrimental to a lot of developmental of players because, you know, this sport is to develop young men into men. And I think a lot of times, you know, in recruiting, the two things that I look for is the emotional part of it. And, you know, I guess you could say not only with the emotion, but the part that's important is the development part of it. So, you know, is this kid somebody that in 3 years you could see become successful? Well, we're giving them opportunities where they're making decisions on choosing the school based on emotion, and then you hate using the word quitting, but not going through the adversity of the challenge. You know, back in the day, you know, you couldn't come out early, so you was in school 4 to 5 years. And now, you know, it's a situation to where, I mean, back then you weren't transferring, you were waiting your turn. So now it's like if it gets tough, you know, oh, I'm a transfer school. Then it's happening in the high schools as well. You know, kids are leaving high school, one high school to go to another, and blaming one school and saying they didn't treat me right, so I went to another school, and then all of a sudden they're blaming that school too. And then when do you look in the mirror and say, you know, it might be me, you know? And so I don't think as mentors in the coaching field, we're doing a justification to these kids and putting them through the adversity. You know, because when that's all said and done, when you get through that adversity part, you know, that makes you a better representative when you're working for IBM or when you're working for 3M or you're working for, you know, a Benoit or some big firm that you're planning for the future. But we're giving them an opportunity to quit, change direction, and move on, you know. And everybody will benefit from it, you know, but at the same time, you know, there'll be guys that in the end, all said and done, will be making decisions that'll be detrimental for everybody.
Talking Illinois football with assistant coach Mike Bellamy. You've got some young guys that will be reporting to town before too long in the next few weeks. What kind of contact have you had with those fellas, and what will they expect when they hit town in June or so when they get here?
Well, you know, I've reached out to a couple guys this morning as well because I just got back, you know, in town and, you know, talking to the guys who are planning their trip in and ask them if there's anything that they need assistance with. Have they talked to everybody? You know, you just want to make them comfortable because the transition that they'll go from being the high school superstar to the new guy on campus and, you know, you're that extension to their family, you want to make sure that it's as comfortable as they can be. So once that emotional part is gone, then you have to make sure that you make the families comfortable and understand that you're there for the benefit of them. And then it's down to football, you know, and it's down to making sure that they understand. And Lovey has done a great job. Coach Smith has done a great job of making sure that these guys know that there's an opportunity to play as soon as you get here. So I think a lot of those guys have prepared themselves. We tell them now that, you know, with Lou, you know, with Coach Hernandez, if you're not in shape, you're going to have an issue. So you better be ready, you know. So I think those guys got the message. They understand. And you know, look forward to, you know, the first week of June and seeing some of those guys get on campus.
As you mentioned, Lovey has shown a proficiency for playing freshmen right away. And how tough is that, though, in your mind in the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, I think the thing about it is that now they are experienced juniors. You know, so a lot of times, you know, a lot of teams, when you're a junior, you've been, you know, being on a practice team or you've been on a scout team and, you know, getting special teams reps. But, you know, we got guys that have been playing since their freshman year and going into their third year as a starter or their second year as a starter. So, you know, eventually, you know, you have to put yourself in a position of making sure you understand now you have to, you know, show up, you know, and you know, no longer have the immaturity excuses or the lack of experience excuses. You know, we got guys that are returning starters and we expect a lot out of them. So, you know, it's exciting, you know, and again, you know, as we travel on this recruiting path, a lot of the kids in other cities and other states see what we've done, and the interest for Illinois football is at a big-time high right now.
Mike, is there anything you can tell us about Luke Ford? I know the petition's been in for him to be immediately eligible. Of course, it was denied initially, and now it's being reapplied. What can you do you have any timing on it?
I have, you know, I mean, I was in Georgia the last 2 weeks and, you know, and even bumped into a couple coaches that, you know, are familiar with Luke and, you know, they don't understand what's going on. And, you know, everybody makes a joke out of, you know, why are guys not able to find immediate eligibility or whatever, you know. But again, every individual has an individual circumstance. Right now, I'm not versed of anything that is going on. I call the office and say, have anybody heard anything? You know, but in this industry, as you know, next guy up, you know, and you know, you feel bad for Luke because I think he has worked hard, showed in the spring that this is where he wants to be, and has put himself in the best physical position, you know, and hopefully, you know, we're finding ourselves, you know, being blessed with his talent in the fall when it comes around. So, you know, I'm not sure what's going on or what the timetable may be, but you would hope that you would give the kid an opportunity sooner than later.
One question about Isaiah Williams when he comes in. I assume he'll be in around the 1st of June or so. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. How does a freshman at the position of quarterback, when you don't have a returning starter, how do you become a leader, which you have to be in the summer? I mean, the quarterbacks kind of run the operation among themselves, don't they?
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest thing is you put yourself in the position by your action, you know, and you know, I got a lot of friends from St. Louis, and they always say, you know, it's the show me state. So, you know, if he gets out here and he shows that he's capable of contributing or he's capable of leading the drill, you know, then more guys will follow. And then once one guy follows, there here come two. And after two guys follow, then come five. And then you got, you know, the guys believing in him. You know, and so I think the thing for him is, you know, being the talent that he's had and the success that he's had in high school, I don't think he's going to have an issue with that. You know, right there for him is going to figure out if there's going to be opportunities for him to get on the field and play. And if he does, will he be prepared? And Coach Rod will do a great job of preparation for all the quarterbacks, you know. But I think, you know, he'll come in with the excitement and the energy of contributing right away.
Mike Bellamy, always good to talk football with you. We appreciate your time, and we'll bump into you soon.
I appreciate it. You know, save some pancakes for me, Lauren.
That's
I'll make
funny.
Sure I get some.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Appreciate your time.
All right. Y'all have a good
weekend.
That's Illini
assistant football coach, running backs coach Mike Bellamy with us here on Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk, moving up on 9:45. Speaking of Illini Pella, they're the most preferred window brand in the window and door industry, and they've got a special going on now for senior customers. You can get the $100 off per qualifying window and $300 off per qualifying door, or 0% financing, APR, for 48 months. You already know that one of the best ways to keep your electricity bill down is to make sure you're not wasting energy And that's one of the principles behind the way they craft the Pella replacement windows and doors. Their products are designed and built for optimal energy efficiency, so they'll keep your home comfortable and look beautiful in the process. This special offer is good for another week or so through May the 25th. Got a special number for you to call to talk to Mike Mary and his folks about this. It is 877-200-7812, 877-200-7812 for the Pella Window Store. Stop by and say hi to Mike Mary and his staff and ask him about this special and some new products that may be coming down the pike and what else might be new at the Pella Window and Door Replacement Store at 1001 North Country Fair Drive in Champaign. The Pella Window and Door Specialists in Champaign County. They've been around a long time. We'll take a break and be back with more Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk from Bromley Hall after this. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk at the Kiwanis Club's Pancake Breakfast at Bromley Hall. They're serving for another hour and 15 minutes or so. If you're in the mood for pancakes and sausage, Ed Bond assures me that he did not eat the rest of what was over there. There's plenty left, he says. Lauren Tate, Steve Kelly with you until 11. Jim Dye, who was on with us a couple of minutes earlier, is back with us. Steve Beckett is here as well. How are you, Steve?
Fine, Steve. Good to see you.
We started to talk a little bit about the gambling in the state of Illinois, and I forget where we were on that, but let's pick that up and we'll touch on some other things.
Yeah, I just want to say that despite popular demand, I am coming back. Can't believe I got the hook for the golf coach.
Well, anyhow, he's the hottest coach in town. Well,
he is a hot coach.
How many NCAA titles have you won?
That's right. He's just done a phenomenal job. It's amazing. He's kind of like the guy we had at tennis who was such a superstar.
Tiley.
Yeah, Craig Tiley, who was just – 1-1-1. I don't know how those guys do it, but wish we could do that in football and basketball.
Once you get on a roll with recruiting, it's really, of course, now that Mike's taken some players that weren't, these weren't the very top players in the country, and, you know, and Chopra certainly from Uni High wasn't one of the top players, but he's got a great program for development.
And if you look at some of the guys that turned him down that are playing on the PGA Tour, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, he was in contact with all those guys. Mm-hmm. But he picks up some sleepers, some under the radar guys, some guys from Belgium, which he has a pipeline there now.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just amazed. We did that story last week on him, and he talked about all the really well known golfers that he had tried to recruit, and it was just a stunning group of now professional players,
all of whom wanted warm weather.
They wanted what?
Warm weather.
Yeah, and you can't blame them. Say, well, that is a problem. That's why they have the indoor golf facility. Yes, as we're talking about the sports gambling thing, and we're winding down to the final days of the legislature. May 31, they're going out. So they've got a lot of other things on their plate, and the sports gambling bill is something that Pritzker wants because he wants the revenue. And, of course, he'd probably like to have a clean bill, just sports gambling. But you have all the other gambling interests in the state, those who want more and those who want less and those who want casinos in Chicago and the racetracks that want slot machines. So it's a big battle, and the question is how big a Christmas tree are they going to put together? That just remains to be seen. The other questions arise. What are they going to gamble on? And if you know that Josh Whitman actually testified in Springfield before one of the committees, he wants them to exclude college sports because he's concerned that college athletes might be tempted or taken advantage of in some ways to, maybe do things they shouldn't do in connection with point spreads and that sort of thing.
Well, Steve Beckett, that looks like that's a done deal.
That would be the next step in the problems that we have in college athletics. It's all about money. And so you're talking about the athletes that come from nowhere. The only thing they have is their athletic talent. Some of them are marginal students. Their families have nothing. The agents want to identify them and get money to them, to their families, so that they sign with them after they complete their eligibility. One of the agents, I don't remember if it was Dawkins or who, said, if I can get one, it can mean millions of dollars. If I can get one great player, the right one, it can mean millions of dollars. So, wow. So, I mean, it's all about money. And so you have to worry about the gambling, because that's just another arena where money can get to the players and their families.
Well, we've seen that before in college sports. I mean, Northwestern had a gambling problem. Arizona State years ago, when Bill Frieder was the best, they had a gambling problem. If anybody has not seen the ESPN 30 on 30 documentary about the Boston College gambling case, that is a fascinating expose of what happened there involving mob figures and Boston College basketball players. So there's no question there are financial incentives on that, and that's why Josh wants to head that off. I'm not sure that's you can really do that, but maybe you can. The other thing was that the owners of the sports on which people place bets, you know, they've lined up and said, well, we'd like a cut of the pie. I don't know why they're entitled to that, but I mean, they see this obviously as another possible revenue stream. So it's
speaking of revenue, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but Illinois is going to be up to $54 million this year in their TV revenue. It's gone up. It's gone 30, 40. We hit 50. Now it's going to be 54. I think the Big Ten took in nearly $50 million more this year than last year. Can you imagine that? It just keeps going up. Is it ever going to stop?
Right. And we can't get anybody to come to the games. You can watch them on TV.
You don't need anybody at the games when you got $54 million coming in without the attendance.
Now, the fans are just props now. They're just background for the TV cameras.
That's why they're going to go down to Robeson's basement. They're going to get a whole bunch of those things and sit them in seats.
I don't know if you've been watching Major League Baseball. Say the parks. I was watching the Dodgers and the Reds last night. There's nobody there.
That's why the Reds played two games in Mexico, Steve.
Yeah, they gave up two home games.
Yeah, they went.
They
down.
Made more money being in Mexico. Yeah,
absolutely,
at least from attendance.
Well, you know, the Cardinals played a couple games in Mexico, and I think they drew very well.
It was against the Reds. It was the Reds.
Reds home games.
Yeah. So are the Reds moving to Mexico? Is that what the deal is now?
No, it's just that they could make more. I think they're trying to.
Yeah, they're trying to expand their markets.
Right. I think that at some point maybe there'll be a team down there.
We got a team in Canada.
But here, I want to ask Steve Beckett this. Will the trials that are now concluded out east, the FBI trials on fraud in basketball, will the NCAA take action based on the information they gained from those trials? Your favorite subject.
I know. You know, they have wiretaps of,
I know they
of
do.
Patino and Sean Miller and Will Wade at LSU. And it's difficult for me to understand how they could possibly not do something about it. But what the NCAA tends to do is create some blue ribbon committee. It's got Condoleezza Rice on it. And they're going to, you know, it's almost like the Pope and the church, right? We're going to announce some encyclical, et cetera, so that the words are beautiful, but nothing's really done. I mean, how is this scandal any different than Lloyd Bloom or Norby Walters? It is no different. Those were football players and basketball players, and they gave money to the players before they completed their eligibility to sign them as agents. That's the same sort of thing. It's the same scheme. But the sad thing I thought about the case was that they never indicted a head coach. They only went after assistant coaches. And then when I saw this.
Well, those are the only ones they had real good wiretap.
They got a wiretap on Rick Pitino, for God's sakes. And they got a wiretap on Sean Miller talking about making sure the money gets to the family. I don't know.
The president of Arizona said that's okay.
He just said Sean's our guy.
Well, yeah. Okay.
but here's the point. So then you have those prosecutions. You get the convictions. Did you see what the sentences were after the first trial? 6 months in jail. You know, I have clients that would love to have 6 months in jail. That's incredible. I mean, you don't make the value of cooperation with the investigation meaningful if the sentences are 6 months in jail. You know, the prison time has to be really, really heavy for someone to have the incentive to say, well, this is what really happened. But instead, they go in the corner, fall on their sword, and maybe they're being compensated in some way for the code of silence.
Well, don't you think part of that, though, is a judge who has all kinds of really serious criminal cases going through his courtroom all the time says, well, what is this business about college basketball recruiting? It's just not I can't justify slamming a guy with 5 years.
You're correct that who the judges can make a difference. Remember that Judge McCuskey, when he was here in federal court, thought white-collar crime was far worse than street crime. And he would nail people who were convicted of white-collar crime and try to understand where these people who were convicted of drugs or, you know, those kinds of offenses, where they came from, because there's no excuse for the people who have the power and the money to commit this white-collar crime to get off with a light sentence. But that's what you're right. That's what's happened in this case.
Well, let's not get confused between NCA rules and law.
Right.
And in this case, what you have is there was a breakage of law, but the judge is saying, well, I don't care about NCA rules. What's that matter to me? What? He didn't even bring Sean Miller in.
Right.
He didn't even bring him in to testify.
Right. And as it turned out, the counts that he would have testified about, which were honest services to the various universities, they were acquitted on anyway. And so they really didn't need Sean Miller, okay? So the judge's ruling sort of makes sense.
Well, will Illinois plays at Tucson this season? Will Sean Miller be the head coach at that time?
My guess would be yes, because I don't know what's going to happen between now and then that would change anything. You know, the NCAA.
Well, his assistant
even if
coach,
they do something, they usually take a long time to do it.
He was given the guy Ayton. He was given Ayton $20,000 a month. That's what Book Richardson said. He testified to that under oath.
Yeah. One thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, the FBI, they went to a lot of trouble over a long time to gather a whole bunch of stuff. What was entered into evidence in the trials is public record, and the NCAA can get to that.
Right.
But what they didn't introduce into evidence, which is probably far exceeds the amount of material that they did, wasn't. So that's not public material. So the NCAA is going to have to work, if they want to work with it, with what was entered as evidence. And they're not. I don't expect they're going to have access to what the FBI and the federal prosecutors introduce.
And the NCAA does not have the subpoena power or the hammer, other than the threat of jobs or eligibility for student athletes, to get the information. And so most of the time they just get stonewalled.
So where's this all going? That's the question.
That's what I was trying to get at. You know, what's the NCAA going to do now that the trials are over? And I think
well, if we see a letter of intent to Louisville, a letter of intent to Arizona, a letter of intent to LSU.
There is a letter of intent right now to Louisville.
Okay.
Well, they lost three assistant coaches and fired Patino. So
right.
Yeah, they have some serious.
But they're under investigation.
you know who has suffered most out of this thing, and this what I think is really ironic. The recruit, Brian Bowen Jr., was declared ineligible at Louisville, and now he's playing basketball somewhere over in Europe. Now, there's a guy that's
he's playing in Australia, but
he's paid a price. His college career went up in smoke. They didn't say you can go somewhere else.
And his dad was doing all the negotiating.
Yeah, so once again, you have the least culpable guy who really suffers, and a lot of other guys who are a lot more culpable don't suffer.
Well, you don't have everybody that you have evidence against. You don't have everybody that you have a wiretap on. You got Bowen's talking. The old man's talking.
Yeah, right.
And maybe he had to. I don't know. But you're right about that. But what's really – I don't think very much has changed in the business of recruiting from what it was before. I don't think much has changed. I think the same people who were cheating before are still cheating.
So do you think that if there was a financial stipend to the scholarship basketball players, that it would change all this, or would the schools
they got a stipend now.
Well, I understand, but a larger stipend, yeah. That's pretty much direct compensation for your abilities to play collegiate sports, sanctioned by the NCAA, which takes away the Northwestern lawsuit, kind of thing. It be at a level enough that a player or his family would not have the incentive to do this stuff?
You mean if they could take advantage of their likeness?
That's an example.
A stipend is one thing. Earning money based on
who you are, right.
It's a little different.
Right.
It's hard to imagine that they could ever compensate these players for what their real value is in the marketplace. I mean, we're talking.
Well, they're talking about putting a $5,000 limit on it already.
Well, you know, and what did Bowen's father get? We're talking $100,000, $50,000. Yeah. I mean, these guys have value in the marketplace, and that's one of the problems the NCAA is dealing with, is that if you can't get your value above ground, you get it underground.
I don't know. I don't know if we solved anything. Steve, what do you think?
I don't think we solved anything, but it's always fun to talk about. Steve Beckett, Jim Dye, appreciate your time. Any
you
final
bet.
Thoughts? Anything really bugging you? You want to get off your chest? Lauren uses this show to do that.
I want to know why the Dodgers can't beat the Cardinals. That's what I want to know. They can beat everybody else,
well,
but they can't beat
the right time.
Yeah, if they played.
Wish
now,
we played them in May instead of April.
Exactly. Appreciate
good
it, guys.
To see you.
Yep. It is 10:02 WDWS Champaign-Urbana. We'll be back with hour number two of Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk after this. Stay with us.
It's the second hour of Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk. Join the program by calling 217-356-9397 or send a text to the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Here again are your hosts, Lauren Tate and Steve Kelly.
And welcome back to Saturday Sports Talk, brought to you by Illini Pella, with you until 11 o'clock here at the 25th Annual Kiwanis Club Pancake Breakfast at Bromley Hall. Special guest with us now, Lou Henson. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing fine, Steve. Nice to be with you.
Good. You feeling good? You're looking good.
I'm doing really well. My legs are strong. I need to get my balance. I want to get my balance and I'll be doing really well.
You've got a pretty good fan club here. A lot of folks stopping by to say hi to you.
Oh, yes. We saw a lot of people. We hadn't seen it in a long time.
Are you keeping track of the NBA playoffs?
Well, I've been trying to watch it some, but now we're down to the Final Four. I'll be watching all of it.
Well, Lou, I want to ask you about John Beilein's decision to leave the University of Michigan and go into the NBA. What's your thoughts about that?
Money. Yeah. However, I will say that the way John coaches will fit right into the NBA.
Why do you say that?
Well, he runs a movement offense, not too many screenings, but some. It's a little different than most, but you have to have talent to run it.
And 66 years old, moving into the NBA, is that too late? Or is it?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. What's your view of who might succeed him? There is talk about Juwan Howard, who's been an assistant coach in the NBA. He's never been a head coach. What are your thoughts about who might take the job at Michigan?
Lauren, I've thought about that, and I have no idea who might get it.
Do you see somebody like Donovan coming back from the NBA? Billy Donovan, was it Florida?
I really feel that he's going to be able to attract a nice coach.
Well,
with their record there and all, and Michigan, you know, Michigan, the school recruits people.
Yeah, just the name of the school.
Right.
Huh?
Back in your day when you were at the height of your career in college basketball, did you ever think about what it would be like to coach in the NBA?
No, I never did.
It's a whole different game, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is.
Well, now, Lou, you had an offer one time. I remember that.
Well,
from Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Houston?
Yeah.
Houston, wasn't it?
Yeah, Houston.
Let's bring the boss in here on that, Mary. What were you just saying? The Houston Rockets.
Yes. The Malou family out of Albuquerque owned the Houston Rockets at the time, and we had known the Malous forever because their kids went to our camps in New Mexico. But, George, I think, called and asked Lou if he'd be interested after we came here. And, of course, I said no.
I was going to ask what your vote was on that.
You didn't have to ask.
Are you a fan of the NBA at all? Do you watch?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we love watching the NBA when we can. College, of course, is our preference, but the NBA is fun, especially at the end. And we have our daughter who lives in Houston, and of course they're big Rocket fans and big all the football and everything, And so we have to sort of, you know, act like we're for them.
Are you enjoying yourself here at the Pancake Breakfast? You've been to a few of these, haven't you?
It's so fun to be back here in Bromley Hall. I'll tell you a story that maybe not many. I told a friend of ours that in 1975, when Lou came here, guess where he stayed? While I was back trying to sell the house, the kids were finishing school in 1975, he was here living in Bromley Hall. And Jim Phillips and Jimmy Graham, I think Jimmy Graham was here at that time. So this is where he started his life. Here. And then, of course, we had our camps here. And yeah, and then he swam here.
Right.
Till recently. And mm-hmm. So... he actually has quite a history with Bromley.
Good to see you, Mary.
Thank you, Steve.
Dorothy Damewood here as well, longtime secretary.
You ask her a simple question, you want a simple answer. It took 5 minutes to get it out. So, but that's the way it is. She always takes over. She thinks she does. Really, at times, she would try to help me coach. She doesn't know anything about the game, but a lot of people help who don't.
You're pretty brave saying that because I'm between you two, so you feel safe, don't you?
I feel safe with you being there, Steve. Yeah,
Coach, always good to see you. Thanks for stopping
Steve,
by.
Steve, nice to be here.
Yep. Lou Henson, Mary Henson, Dorothy Damewood along as well. We appreciate it very much. Lauren, you and I will continue, and they'll help you get off so you don't fall down the steps there like Lauren did earlier. Thanks, Mary. Good to see you, Coach. We'll continue with the program here. Stay with me, Lauren. Don't hang up. We're going to move on. Jim Shepherd is in the house.
Okay.
And he's going to stop by and visit with us as well. Come on in here, Jim. Our phone line is open, too, 356-9397. If you'd like to join us, give us a call on Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk with you for another 50 minutes or so here at Bromley Hall. Ed Bond with us, Lauren Tate with us, Jim Shepherd, longtime PA announcer at the U of I, is sitting down here. Tough act for you to follow, my friend.
I tell you, it didn't get any tougher than that. Great to see Lou and Mary. They're troopers.
You've been doing some work. You've been with the Kiwanis Club for a long time yourself, haven't you?
Long time member. I was a member years ago and, of course, worked outside the city. And then when I got back, I rejoined Kiwanis.
And the basketball banquet, how many of those have there been now?
The first one, this year was our 97th, although maybe this is a research project for Lauren. Ted Beach told me that one year, I think during World War II, there was no banquet. So basically, 97 years ago, we called it 97. We've never confirmed it. This might have been the 96th banquet, but it's
the oldest.
The oldest we have heard. It's the longest running Kiwanis-sponsored event in the world.
Okay.
Because Kiwanis is up there in years, too, as an organization worldwide. But, yeah, we've done the banquet all these years.
The banquet is always seems to be so much more fun when you have a really winning team or Final Four team or something like that. How much more difficult is it to put it on in terms of drawing people if you don't have a particularly good team?
Well, it's certainly easier and interest-wise from people want to come when we win. The year I remember was 05 when we had the great team.
Oh, my.
We were at another facility that year at the Holiday Inn up off of North Lincoln, and we had over 600 people in the banquet. And every seat, I mean, we actually had too many people in there. We had so many people wanted tickets that year that the big ballroom had close to 600. And the demand on tickets was such that we actually sat people in Killarney's bar across the way. They had closed circuit TV They had the dinner, and they watched the banquet from another room. And wow. it was tickets were like gold. This year we had a little over 300, and hopefully with the basketball looking promising for the future, if we have a good run, maybe make the tournament next year, we'll have more people.
I know you mentioned that basketball looking promising this year. I'm amazed at the different feelings that people have about this season and about the Big Ten, about how good the Big Ten is going to be. And because we don't really know anything till the end of this month when certain players might come, like Grzdickus might come back to Michigan. I mean, who knows? There are any number of players that could come back. They have that option until another 2 weeks. And I think that right now we don't really know anything. I mean, we don't know how good we're going to be, really. Yeah. We don't know how good hardly anybody's going to be, unless except maybe Michigan State. I could see where Indiana could be very average or pretty good. Michigan could be very average with a new coach and losing a lot, some key players. I mean, if you analyze the Big Ten right now, the league looks to me like it's going to fall off precipitously this season, mm-hmm. but will it when it's finals? I mean,
you
I don't
never know.
Yeah,
I you mean, never know.
Jim, but, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, getting back to your point earlier, there definitely is a correlation between having a winning team
and attendance.
And attendance, yeah, direct. And we're, you know, you're always going to get your group from the university, but I think other people. We do not open this event up to the public because we simply don't have the space. I don't know mm-hmm. what the public, if we ever have the banquet open to the public, you know, we could have 2,000 people there. I don't know. But it's primarily for our Kiwanis Club, for the rebounders, and for the basketball office / DIA group, which is a large group.
You've been involved recently with the Illinois Basketball Museum,
yep.
and getting that going. Give us an update on where that's at right now.
Well, to turn back the time a little bit, our group, I've been on the board of this since for about 12 years. The original idea of the IBCA, the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association, a group that started in 1971 by Chuck Rolinski, former coach at Toluca, he started the IBCA. He always wanted to have a Hall of Fame. So in 1973, the IBCA had its first induction class, and the Hall of Fame includes players, coaches, a category called career coaches, friends of basketball, media, and officials. So there's six groups. Right now, the numbers of that group, individuals, is 3,419 people. Lauren Tate is in the Hall of Fame. I was fortunate enough to go in 2007, and there's a lot of Champaign-Urbana people. So anyway, we started. But then Chuck Rolinski's vision was to someday have a museum.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, about 12 years ago, a very good friend of mine, John Spezia, who was he's a Hall of Fame coach. He's right now out in Vegas with the National Junior College Association, had an idea of putting the Hall of Fame in Danville. And he contacted the IBC, and we started the enormous task of getting something to honor Illinois basketball in Danville at the Civic Center. After two or three years there, things just didn't develop. And we were contacted by the city of Pontiac. The last 4 or 5 years, we've been in touch and had meetings with the city people, the mayor, the city people in Pontiac, to again build a museum honoring Illinois basketball. It would take us 5 hours for me to explain all of what's happening. During this time, a group from Burr Ridge, Illinois, which is DuPage County, we had a board member that lived there, and they had been keeping track of our progress or lack of progress in getting this thing built. So right now I can definitely say Pontiac will not have the museum. The city of Burr Ridge, Illinois, which is a southwestern suburb, a very affluent community. I've heard statistics that the average home price up there is about $465,000. They've got a lot of money. It's in DuPage County. They have expressed interest, and we have met with them about getting the museum as part of a hotel, restaurant, tourism attractive area up in Burr Ridge. What has happened is Burr Ridge, the village of Burr Ridge, has hired a company called Sports Facilities Advisory. They're in Clearwater, Florida, and they are in the business of building facilities, getting it funded, of youth sports in that area. It's a huge industry. So right now, they are finishing up a feasibility study that cost, I think, about $78,000, paid for by the city of Burr Ridge. The results of that will be in next week. Everybody involved feels the results will be very positive in moving forward. The village board.
So this is going to be like a theme thing for the hotel, I suppose.
It's part of a big complex. They will build a new hotel. I guess two or three national groups. They're going to build restaurants, and our museum by itself has been priced at about $5 to $7 million. It's a state-of-the-art museum, and we actually changed the name of the museum from the Illinois Basketball Museum to the Basketball Museum of Illinois because we thought people would think, well, there's already a Hall of Fame at the State Farm Center. This is all basketball in the state of Illinois, primarily high school, grade school, the Harlem Globetrotters, the Chicago Bulls, all the colleges, junior, it's all basketball, and it's a huge undertaking. But anyway, on June 5th, the Burr Ridge Village Board will vote on whether or not to hire a contractor to build this facility. Now,
this is going to be private money?
This is, a lot of the money is through their taxes up in DuPage County.
Okay, so they have to vote on that.
They have to vote on this. Now, the one uncertain factor in this whole thing is, I don't think there's any doubt that the feasibility study will produce positive results. The village board will vote yes, let's proceed. They'll hire a contractor. And I've seen a map of this place right off of Interstate 55. In the area of 294 and 55 is a tract of land about 15 acres. On that land right now is a large bank. At some point in the future, the village of Burr Ridge will have to negotiate with the land there. I think it's all owned by the bank. And see if we being the IBCA and the basketball people, and to buy about 8 or 9 acres, if that is sold to us, then everybody is hoping the shovels go in the ground and they start this project. But it's the most positive news our board has had in 12 years of trying to get this thing built. And it's going to be, I've seen renderings of the museum.
It's going to be huge, isn't it?
It's going to be, yeah. They're also, in part of this complex, they're going to plan to build 8 to 12 full-size basketball courts. Now, our group, the IBCA and the city of Burr Ridge, now can attract, you know, we've talked about having tournaments up there. Again, youth basketball is a huge business, especially. And so we're very excited. It's going to be a while. It could be 2 to 3 years, but we're very optimistic this thing can be built, and it's going to be spectacular, state of the art. We're going to have a theater in it, but it's all basketball, all Illinois. So it's, of course, the U of I will have a big presence there. You know, they've talked about a Dyke Edelman exhibit. There's 148 Illinois players who have played at Illinois the U of I that are in our Hall of Fame. So it's a big project. I've been involved with it for 10 or 12 years, and it's very exciting.
Well, keep us up to date on everything that goes on.
I will. I wanted to add a couple of statistics. From the location of where they want to build this complex, there are 10 million people that live within an hour of that site. And we're only 25 minutes from O'Hare and Midway. So it's a perfect spot for it.
Very good, Shep. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me on.
You bet. Jim Shepherd with us. We need to take a break here at 10:24. Back with more after this. Stay with us. Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk continues from the Kiwanis Club's Pancake Breakfast, Bromley Hall in the U of I campus. With Lauren Tate, I'm Steve Kelly. I had a whole bunch of celebrities with us this morning, led by Lou Henson and Mary, that they spent a few minutes with us. Another one sitting down here now, Jay Lehman.
Oh, yeah.
How
good to be
doing?
Here. Good, man. Got the flag football game in early today, then get to come to Kiwanis Club breakfast here at Bromley. So getting it all in.
Are you coaching?
I was going to. I had to miss two Saturdays in the spring, so they got a guy coaching for me. But we played against Justin Harrison's team, and his team was pretty darn good. I can't coach in the fall, obviously, because I'm on the road, so I wanted to coach. But next spring, I'm in.
Well, who's your assistant sitting over here?
This is Colt over here, my assistant. He's loving the pancake breakfast and the sausage. Yes, for extra sausage. So I said, you got to come on the radio show with me. He was excited.
So what's keeping you busy besides flag football here?
Yeah, actually, it's real estate time. You know, yeah. Well, got my license. I've been investing in real estate for 6-7 years, but got my license in February with eXp Realty. We've grown a team of about 5 or 6 agents in town. So selling a lot of homes. Stuff's moving pretty fast in Champaign, under about $200,000, $250,000. You get above that, a little slower.
You keeping track of all the comings and goings in college football with the transfer situation?
Who can keep track, though?
They can.
It is just a ridiculous circus right now. Back in the day, I think when I played, maybe Lauren can speak to this, if you transferred inside of the Big Ten, I didn't think you could be on scholarship, right?
You couldn't even get a scholarship.
Get a scholarship, right?
When Derek Holcomb came here from Indiana, he had to, you know, he had to pay his own way.
Right, right.
Or somebody had to pay for it. But in any case, it's free agency.
Right. No, absolutely.
I like the word circus because that's what it is.
No, it's a circus. And the fact that Tate Martell transfers from Ohio State and somehow is going to play for Miami because he transferred because Justin Fields came. And then Luke Ford comes here and can't play. I don't understand.
Well, the answer is when a coach leaves, that changes everything.
Is that the key, huh?
Oh, yeah, the key. Absolutely. I mean, it's not a rule. It's a policy. It's an NCAA policy that if your coach leaves,
So with Urban leaving – that gave him free, scot-free.
Absolutely free.
Lauren's teaching me stuff like that because I thought that was not a hard and fast rule yet.
It wasn't a hard and fast rule. It became a policy. It became a policy where they just did it for that reason constantly over and over. And I think the number was, like 80% were being approved. And everybody that had a coach leave was approved.
Right, right. Okay. Well, you look at it closer than I do. I get so overwhelmed with the circus that it is.
You get into basketball sometime. You think football's
bad. I've heard it's
700
worse.
People.
Everybody's transferring everything. You can't wait for 2 years to play anymore. So
they've now determined in basketball that there are more players in the portal than there are positions for them in college. There's not room for everybody. Because what happens is a coach just adds a freshman or they add players and a guy leaves and they're adding players faster and there are too many players leaving.
Well, the whole notion of rebuilding is totally different than it was even 10 years ago. Rebuilding is now just kind of replugging in. It's not necessarily recruiting.
I just mentioned a while ago, and I'm really serious about this, I don't think anybody has – and I'm talking basketball now – don't think anybody has any idea who's going to be good in the Big Ten next year because we don't even know who's going to be there.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. That's the problem. It's just going all over the place. So.
But football is coming along in that direction. I mean, they don't have the numbers that basketball does, but the transfer and the big problem with Illinois, and it's really obvious to me now – is academics. We've had so many guys that couldn't get in here that we thought we had, and they're leaving. We think they decommitted, and it isn't the case at all. It's just it's academic. Yeah. They were rejected.
Yeah, Here's the thing. I mean, the rumor is that Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois are the toughest to get into other than Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true in the Big Ten or not. I mean, I've heard that. But we've got to figure out a way either to get the players we need or to just identify players for a system and recruit to that, much like, you know, Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan State. But we haven't had continuity coaching to do that.
You mentioned Michigan, but Michigan got that general studies program. They can get anybody in.
Is that the trick? Yeah.
They took Isaac. We had a chance to get a really good running
back. Ty Isaac.
Where did he wind up?
Why, he wound up in Michigan. Joliet guy went to USC.
He wanted to come to Illinois. Academically, he had to go to Michigan because they've got way. Look, anybody, it doesn't hurt Michigan's academic program to have a few athletes who are marginal. They've got academic services and take care of them anyway.
Right.
Well, it isn't that you have a problem passing the courses. It's getting in.
Right, of course.
Once you're in, you're in.
Well, that's the thing. Got to get past the gatekeepers and the standards. So,
yeah.
But it's been a problem here at Illinois for years, though. But starting to come up more and more as Levy's trying to recruit at a higher level. So I guess my biggest concern, guys, is the quarterback. I really don't know. I know you guys have talked about it a lot, but
who's going to play quarterback? Who's going to be the starter game one?
You know, my money's on Matt Robinson. You know, I think he's a guy that's been kind of overlooked. He's
sure
shorter.
Yeah.
You know, according to Rod Smith, he raved about the kids' film in California, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's short. I mean, could he be a David Blau type guy? Maybe. David Blau's a short guy.
I suspected something was going on all spring because Rod kept saying and using Robinson with the number one unit a lot. I think he suspected something with Rivers, or maybe he thought Robinson was as good as Rivers. I don't know that. But I thought Rivers would be the quarterback. I thought he would be the starter when fall came and Williams had worked his way. Something happened along the way. Rivers wasn't happy. Maybe he was unhappy that we kept recruiting transfers over him.
He also just didn't have the mobility that you would really want for this offense.
I know.
You really – and I know Robinson's more mobile, but we got to have a mobile quarterback.
Well, we got a mobile quarterback coming in. The question is, how much can you run a freshman without getting him hurt?
I think you'll see him 5 to 8 plays a game at quarterback. I do. I think they're going to have a package for him.
Okay.
That's what I think. I don't think he'll start, but I think you're going to see him as a wildcat guy in there. I think you're going to see him and Robinson in there at the same time.
Really?
Why not? What do you have to lose? At this point, what do you have to lose? I mean, I think you'll see him in there with a play of five or eight plays, and you'll see him and Robinson in there at the same time. He might see him at receiver there sometimes too, though.
Is it tougher now to play as a freshman at any position than it was in your time?
Is it tougher now? Actually, I think the offenses have got more simpler. They just do 5 plays and run them really fast, right?
Yeah.
So, you remember the Turner system of quarterback. You could hardly get a quarterback up to speed without 2 years of just, even Kittner really struggled his first year, right? So, I don't know if it's necessarily harder. I think, in general, in college football, the farther away you get from the ball, the easier it is to play early. The closer you get to the ball, the harder it is. Now, the problem is at Illinois, they just haven't had much depth for a couple classes, from about 14 to 16. Boy, there was a big void of depth that also some of those guys had to play really early. And so I'm looking forward to, especially in the front defensive line, how good they'll be up front in the offensive line.
Well, the offensive line ought to be pretty good this year.
They ought to be.
They played enough. And I think Kramer's come a long way at center, long, long way from where he was two years ago when he probably didn't have any business being the starter.
Yeah, and I don't think Vidarian Lowe 2 years ago had any business playing at all.
Well, he shouldn't have played.
Right.
I mean, he got hurt. In fact, he couldn't even start the season. He was injured.
But
that was a perfect redshirt situation.
Right. But I think Pelcheski is going to be a big-time play. What is it, Pettibone? Right? Is that to say it right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's the guy that filled in for Allegretta, we think, right? Mm-hmm. I think Kendrick Green was a great run blocker last year. Mm-hmm. Now, he struggles in the pass protection. I think Kendrick Green could be a future NFL player. Really good find, really good interior lineman. So they've got some different players there. Obviously, Boyd's gone, right?
Mm-hmm. But Boyd's gone.
But, I think they're going to be solid at the offensive line. I don't know how much depth they have after. I think it goes from, the ones to, the threes. There's just not much of a depth there.
In your job with the Big Ten Network, you and Howard Griffith and Dave Revson and Jerry DiNardo and those guys, you always go around in the fall. Did you do that in the spring as well? Did you get around to each camp?
I didn't get to go to each camp. You see some highlights. I got to see Indiana. And, you know, Tom Allen, year three, they've been 1 year short of a one win short of a bowl game the last 2 years. But I look at the Big Ten East, and I think it's the most wide open it's been in years. A couple reasons why. The shift with Coach Day at Ohio State, right? Meyer's gone. You know, I don't know how good Justin Fields is going to be. I doubt he puts up Haskins-like numbers. Who would, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Penn State 50 touchdown passes.
What's James Franklin going to like look like without Trace McSorley? I think that's a big question. He's been kind of the and then Michigan has just disappointed. And they lost a bunch of defensive guys. Their offense have never been great. And Michigan State has been inconsistent last 3 years. So I think the heavyweights might be better than the West, but the West, I'm telling you, the problem with the West, if you're Illinois, is there's six teams probably that could vie for it. Other than Illinois, I don't think Illinois is going to vie for the West title. But I think there's six teams that have a legitimate shot to saying we could win the West, whether it be Nebraska, whether it be Minnesota, whether it be Purdue.
Northwestern.
Northwestern won it last year. Northwestern's won, I think, 17 out of the last 18 regular season games in the Big Ten Conference, which is crazy. So, you look at that. The West has gotten better. The East is down a little bit this year, but I think the champion will still probably come out of the East.
What does Lovie have to do to get the fans back this year?
I think you just got to be darn competitive. Well, one, you got to win your first three, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't schedule, I don't want to say teams, but you don't schedule those three to go 0-3. Let's just be real, okay?
No, you schedule them to go 3-0.
3-0. And I love Glenn Mason, but Glenn Mason was the 4-0 king, right? But he would go 4-0 and, you know, go 500 or 3-5. And, you know, Glenn knew that, hey, I got to play in the Big Ten Conference. And so, you know what? Glenn Mason went to bowl games because of Minnesota. And because he was at Minnesota playing a tough conference. But, you know, I look at that. What do you got to get the fans back? You got to be competitive. You know, the worst game I've seen in years, I've played in a lot of bad ones, was that Iowa game last year.
63 points.
It was 35-0 with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. I looked at my broadcast partner and said, what do you do at this point? Do you just keep talking? You know, I mean, what do you do,
welcome
right?
Welcome to the business, Jay.
you guys know, right? So I think you got to be more competitive. You got to stop somebody. I think Rod Smith, they're going to score points, right? They got enough offensive scheme and enough athletes to score points, but I think they know they got to stop somebody. I just don't know how much defense is going to change schematically from what it was if it's still Lovie Smith's defense.
Oh, it's the same defense. You know, that's not going to change.
Right.
He's got to make it work for him.
Hey, Jay, always good to talk football with you. Appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, what is it, about 3 months till camp gets fired up, so looking forward to it, but got the summer to enjoy.
Now, how many jobs and businesses are you in right now?
Let's see. I sell the vitamins. I sell houses, which is the big thing in the spring. You can look me up, jlayman.com. Shameless pitch right there.
That's okay.
Remember, you just spelled J with the letter, no H in layman.
Doing advertising stuff.
We do some radio work here and there. We are doing investments and flips and stuff like that. So we do a lot of different things. Yeah, I don't know if I could ever – my wife said, have you ever thought about getting an office job? I said, no, I haven't. Never.
Is your assignment with BTN going to be similar this year?
We think so. We got to get the assignments and stuff. I think I'll probably be on two or three of the Illinois games of the first three games. And, you know, last year we were, you know, working the studio 2 or 3 days a week. I think that'll be similar. You know, we find that stuff out in June, but me and Stan Jackson and whatnot will probably be running a show or two, so it's always good to talk with Stan, the Ohio State guy. And boy, he's a Big Ten homer, but we love him.
Well, it's good to have a couple of Illini guys, Griff up there and you up there.
Yeah, I know, and Bardo's up there, obviously, for the hoops. Well, we got a good little Illini contingent, so it's been awesome.
Deion Thomas doing some stuff as well.
Oh, yeah, Deion does a lot, actually, you know, and you know, Deion's just – he's such a smooth talker, you know.
He's really good.
He's just smooth with him. And Bardo are great. So, and Howard obviously is kind of the gold standard at Big Ten, so he's our guy.
Appreciate your time, my friend. Good to see you.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Jay Layman with us. We'll take a break and be back with more Saturday Sports Talk in just a moment. Stay with us. We're rolling on from the Kiwanis Club Pancake Breakfast. They're still serving here for another 20 minutes or so if you'd like to join us. Lauren Tate, Steve Kelly, Ed Bond here as well. Let's go to the phones. Kevin, you've been hanging on a while. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing? Are you taking sports talk questions?
You go right ahead, my friend.
Well, I was looking at the News Gazette. I faithfully have taken the News Gazette for 60 years. And I didn't see anything about the Preakness in the paper.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you. I can't answer the question as whether it was in there. I don't remember seeing anything either. But
you want a Preakness preview? Is that what you're asking? Because the race is later today.
Yes. I want the editor picks, Lauren Tate's picks for the Preakness, and Loney, Dave Lone. We know he's a big horse racing fan.
Well, you won't get any picks from me because I don't know which horses are running. I'm out of luck. You're out of luck with me. I don't know anything about racing.
The better question, Kevin, might be who's your pick?
Who's our pick, guys?
Hey, Kevin, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We'll try to come up with a pick for you, but enjoy the race this afternoon.
That's the reason they need
to be. All right, man.
Okay, appreciate the call. Let's go to Alan in Montrose. Hey, Alan, good morning. What's up?
Hey, guys. Can we envision Isaiah Williams as possibly being another Antoine Brandewell?
Yeah, we better.
I guess we could envision anything, but he sounds like that potentially that kind of athlete.
Although I think he might have a better arm than Brandewell had at that time.
I don't know about that. I don't know how much. I don't know how much he actually threw in high school.
Well, he's got a really strong arm. The concern is he was in the 50, roughly in the 50% range of completions, which is not a good number. I mean, you know, you expect in high school that he would complete a lot more than that, but I don't, you know, it's a big step from high school to college, and if you expect anybody to be, I don't know, it was Randall L. When he was first game when he came into college at Indiana. I don't remember. I mean, I know he was awful good at some point.
Well, he started from day one, and they just went with him. And he got better every year, I think.
Alan, are you out in the wind or something? What's all that noise?
It's windy. You're right. Okay. I just think Randall L. was gotten pretty good, but it took 2 or 3 years to do that. And his passing was he got a lot of passing yards, but he wasn't the greatest passer in the world. They made him a wide receiver out of him.
Yeah, he's a great athlete.
Anything else on your mind?
Not at the moment.
All right, we appreciate the call.
Chargers not very good right now.
No, they're not, that's for sure. We talked about that earlier, and we'll have to see what happens with that. Thanks for the call, Alan. We appreciate it. We do have a phone line open for the next 15 minutes or so. If you'd like to join us, 356-9397 on Illini Appella Saturday Sports Talk. We talked earlier in the show about the baseball action from yesterday. The Cubs won. Cardinals lost, the Brewers lost, the White Sox lost. Illinois baseball getting set to play today at Michigan State. Illinois softball trying to stay alive with a game this afternoon down in Lexington against Toledo.
That was a really tough game yesterday. The game was tied, and they took Edwards out and brought in Sickles, and the first player she faces hits a three-run home run.
So, it was a pinch hit three-run home run.
Yeah, pinch hit, right. I mean, the batter had never hit a home run all season.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was their first one.
The NCAA women's golf is underway down in Fayetteville, Arkansas, round two. Illinois is not teed off yet. They're currently in 16th place at 28 over par. They're getting set to play this afternoon. Mike Small joined us earlier in the show. His team is getting set to head to Fayetteville, Arkansas for the men's NCAA golf championship starting next Friday. And they'll play 3 days of stroke play, then move into to match play, and that'll be fun to watch. I think Golf Channel ends up carrying the part of the match play competition. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and hopefully Illinois men's golf is peaking at the right time.
Yeah, well, they certainly seem to be, but, Steve, you never know. It's just like the tournament that they were just in, the regional. The second day they shot even par, which wasn't great, but they shot 15 under the next day. So, you know, it goes from one day to the next.
Let's go back to the phones. Our friend Marty in Pinehurst is with us. Go ahead, Marty.
Morning, Steve. Morning, Lauren.
Morning.
I'm not holding you guys back from pancakes, am I?
No.
We'd, as they say in Kentucky, we'd done it.
Excellent. You know, guys, I was up in the neighborhood last weekend. My daughter, youngest daughter, graduated from the U of I. And I got on the website looking to try to find tickets to your massive studio audience, and I couldn't find them anywhere.
All you had to do was come knock on the door. We would have let you in.
Well, darn, next time I'll do that. Of course, I might have another daughter before I can get up there.
Well, just give me the heads up next time you're in town. We'll make sure to have you come in and sit with us.
We'll do. Fellas, is there any hope? Is the pitching staff at Memphis good enough that they can get some infusion at the major league level in the rotation?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll see that. I think you're already seeing one change in the fact that Martinez is coming back today. I mean, he's not coming from Memphis, but I'm hearing things that yes.
I thought they might have used him last night, but he pitched the day before. But he was activated last night. He was on the roster last night.
Okay.
I haven't checked the last week, but I'd heard that Gomber was pitching real well down at Triple A.
That's what we were told by Bernie Miklas.
Yeah, and I would think a left-hander in the middle of that rotation would not be a bad idea.
Oh, more. So. They're desperate for a good left-hander.
Well, everybody keeps saying on the offense side, everybody keeps saying, well, this was the time that Carpenter turned it on last year, but I'm not seeing many signs of that happening so far.
No. Last year he turned it on at Minnesota. He got hot in an interleague series up there and busted out. And went on a tear, and I'm not seeing it either. And you've got to get something out of the top of the rotation other than walks, or the top of the lineup other than walks. I don't know. I mean, when he first came up, he could hit the ball to left center, no problem. Then they got to him and said, we think you can hit for more power, and we want you to hit doubles. And I kind of like the guy that came up and used to hit the ball over the shortstop and third baseman's head in the short left field.
Or even hit it on the ground to the left side. How many more hits would he have if he did that?
I'm just wondering. I'd at least make him stop shifting quite so much, because if he could get him out of that shift, he'd have a lot more hits the other way, too. I'll let you guys
know. They're not going to do that, because they're going to let him get hits out there because they figure those will be singles.
I'm sure they will.
I don't think you can drive somebody out of a shift with singles, because once you give up the idea of hitting a home run, because in order to hit a single, you're going to swing different.
Right.
And you're not going to hit any home. You're not going to hit any home runs to left field. Now I know he hit one, but when you start trying to move the ball in that direction, that's a different swing. You're not swinging for home runs.
I listened the other day to Chipper Jones speaking, and he talked a lot about the fact that he never tried to swing more than about an 80% level.
Well,
because he was an exceptional player. I get all that, but he used to say, "I don't ever swing as hard as I could." Because you don't make as much contact. I could swing at 80% and drive the ball anywhere I wanted to because I barreled it. And I sometimes wonder if today's players are doing a little bit too much swinging at 100%, kind of like golf. Pretty similar.
Yeah. Hey, Marty, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Make it a good one.
You too. I go back to Joaquin Andujar saying, I swing hard in case I hit it.
In case.
Let's go back to the phones. Eric in Champaign. Hey, Eric.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I wanted to discuss what you were talking about earlier with the sports betting, which Ash Whitman's position on it. It's funny because, Lauren, you know, sports betting and gambling has been going on for a heck of a lot longer than a lot of people want to admit. I mean, the Black Sox were 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't anything new, and I guess maybe he's just taking the stance because it's the right thing to do, you know, to say to exclude college sports, but that's not going to happen, and I think he knows that.
Well, I don't know how to answer your question or what your question is exactly, but we're taking steps more and more to make it easier. I mean, that seems to be obvious.
True.
Whether
right.
it's providing liquor at college games, or whether it's gambling on college games, or just making it easier and easier. And is there some benefit to that?
Well, to the state and the fact that it's going to be everywhere else, you know, be part of the party and not be left out. It's probably the whole deal here. So I look forward to it because it's actually a preventative thing. I mean, the sports books are there not to get beat. They're there to actually monitor illegal or improper things going on. And as you can see with the FBI stuff, the real issues are on the coaching side with the money.
Yep.
Hey, Eric, appreciate the call. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
You bet. 10:52 is the time here on Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk from the Kiwanis Club Pancake Breakfast, number 25. Doug Fink from the Kiwanis Club is here.
Hey, Steve.
How's it going? How'd it go this morning?
We got well over 200 people. It was great to see everybody out here. We really appreciate everybody coming out on this beautiful day, and especially you two. Gracing us with your presence.
We're just happy to be anywhere, aren't we, Steve?
Exactly. How does this rank as far as the projects that the Kiwanis Club works on over the course of a year?
Well, I think it's one of our best public outreach events. We do so much behind the scenes with reading programs for mm-hmm. preschool kids, and the Challenger League, Tom Jones Challenger League, is going on right now. That's actually probably one of our biggest public outreach projects. We have 110 players in that league now, and wonderful support from the community coming out to Ambucks in Urbana, Ambucks Park, and watching the games. So,
and when you have a guy like Lou and Mary
goodness.
Hinson and those folks coming in, that's an added bonus, isn't
Boy,
it?
Boy, everybody lit up when he came in and his entourage, and it's funny to say that, but he does have his entourage, and it's wonderful to see them. But I think what that says to me is that he loves the community so much, and he loves these events that he can get out and have the community see him. And so we're so pleased and honored to have him.
There aren't many retired basketball coaches living in the town where they coached.
No, that's right. That's right.
And as Mary pointed out, kind of coming full circle, because he lived here at Bromley when he first came to town for a time.
We were just talking about that over there.
And he's familiar with the swimming pool.
No doubt. He was every day, basically, for so many years. He would
keep him strong.
Yeah.
I mean, he's defied a lot of,
He is the unstoppable one. That's what I've been saying today.
Hey, Doug, we appreciate your hospitality. Glad everything went well.
We're so glad you could be here, Steve. And News Gazette Media has been so supportive to us over the last couple weeks running up to this, so we really appreciate that.
That's Doug Fink with the Kiwanis Club. We'll take our final break and be back with some final words in just a moment here on Illini Pella Saturday Sports Talk. Stay with us. And we're wrapping up this edition of our show from the Kiwanis Club Pancake Breakfast. As you heard Doug Fink say, about 200 breakfasts were served here this morning. We had a great list of guests. Mike Small stopped by. We had Jim Dye, Steve Beckett. Jim Shepard was on with us as well. Jay Lehman, Lou Henson, Mary Henson, and the whole hee-haw crowd, as they say, here at the Bromley Hall. Mr. Tate, about 30 seconds left. What are you going to do today? You going to listen to Illinois baseball?
Well, you got baseball at 12:05. You got softball at 1:30. And, of course, the women golfers are right now competing or right in the middle of it. So we're just getting started. They are. So, yeah.
Baseball on FightingIllini.com. Softball on WDWS at 1:30 this afternoon. For Ed Bond, Lauren Tate, I'm Steve Kelly. Thanks to Blake Landa back at the station for helping us on the show here on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Have a good weekend, everybody. See ya.